I've just seen you put something in your mouth, salted caramel chocolate. I don't understand salted caramel. Like, I don't really like caramel, but why add salt to the equation?
You don't like caramel?
Not especially. Oh, it wouldn't be my go-to chocolate, let's put it that way.
Why?
Don't know,
have,
it's
you,
just...
have you made this decision because you feel like it's quite hipster?
No, that's a salted caramel, but I don't like caramel in chocolate on its own. I don't mind it with like a Twix or something.
Well, this doesn't have caramel actually in it. It's got like little chunks, like nuggets of almost like toffee caramel.
Like a dime bar.
A little bit, yeah.
Dime bars are acceptable.
So that hasn't, I wouldn't personally choose Dairy Milk caramel.
Yes, agreed.
However, I would have, I quite like the salted caramel Twix.
Again, why change something that's not broken?
I just feel like the salt gives it a nicer, I don't know. I was quite like salted caramel. It's something I'd always pick anyway.
How did I know?
Like I went to Nando's on the weekend and they had a salted caramel brownie. Now, if it said caramel brownie, I'd have been like, meh. But as it was salted caramel, I thought, ooh, go on then.
So, quite fancy. So it's a marketing thing then?
Well, yeah, basically, isn't it? I think everybody's fully aware of that, but it is nicer.
You sit there with your mustache, your monocle, sipping on your
succulent
Indian
Chinese
pale ale. No. That's a good. I like that video. Your Indian pale ale with special yeast and eating your salted caramel chocolate.
Special yeast sounds like I've got a problem.
I was speaking to a brewer, and people hunt out special kinds of yeast just in the natural world. Now, in theory, you could make a beer from a yeast infection.
Ooh, didn't
is that what prisoners do in American jails? It might well be.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Did you ever hear about that?
She named a baby Apple.
No, she made a candle made out of her scent, her yeast, or something. It was something like that, and sold it.
I don't feel this is in the chains appropriate, to be honest, and that's saying a lot.
No, I'm sure she did. She definitely did. She made some sort of candle out of some sort of fluid.
Let's please move on for the sake of, we've been off for 4 weeks and this is what we are on. This is why we've been off.
But we've got loads to talk about. I mean, first of all, what about that plane, the stealth bomber that went missing?
It's not a stealth bomber, it's an F-35, isn't it?
Stealth though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not a bomber, it's a what they call it, multi-role platform, so it can do anything.
Oh, okay.
And it's not it is stealthy, but it's not the stealthiest plane.
Oh, okay. So why did the pilot jump out of it?
I don't know, I haven't read that. I saw it in the news yesterday, but I haven't read that much into it. Probably a malfunction. A few of them have been malfunctioning, I think.
But why was it mal? Is it like, I'm trying to think of the word. Is it foul play from foreign states?
You couldn't shoot one down.
No, but could you perhaps, because it was on autopilot, that's what made it carry on flying. So could you somehow control the autopilot
for
a cyber attack? What?
No chance. Like the, I've been reading about it, the US's sort of like way of communicating with each other is completely uncrackable, like completely.
even with a quantum computer?
Don't exist, do they?
How do you know?
Well, they don't.
Loads of stuff has not existed for decades, but in reality it has. It's just been kept hidden. So why would this not be anything different?
Who's the bad... can't think of the word. Who has bad intent? Who owns a quantum computer?
You're not going to catch me out that easily. No way am I getting bringing myself into that.
Can let you in on a little secret.
Oh, go on.
Do you remember that air traffic control stuff, like, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Apparently, that was definitely a cyber attack.
When you say apparently, it was definitely a cyber attack, that doesn't fill me with confidence that it definitely was.
We can't name any sources, but someone I know knows someone who works in that sort of industry. Can't name any sources, any companies, anything like that. But I have heard from good sources that it was a French plane that had a dodgy flight log, but that had been inserted by someone with bad intentions. It wasn't the correct flight log. It wasn't done by accident. But the redundancy in the system, there's apparently two closed loops that can't be accessed unless they're communicating at that exact time. Apparently the flight log was sent, it shut down the first system, it corrupted it, and then it shut down the second system as well.
That's a pretty big scoop, actually, isn't it, for a disc golf podcast?
Yeah, I mean, it could all be horse shit that has been fed to my sort of the person who told me. So I'm getting it apparently on third-hand basis, second-hand basis.
Yeah.
So if it comes from someone who's in the know, goes to someone else, then to me, what basis is that?
Factual.
So, yeah, so that was a cyber attack. I'm not going to name who it could be because I don't want my life to cease to exist.
Exactly, that's what you tried to trick me into. Well, it's all gone very quiet about the weather balloons as well. Nobody seems to mention them anymore. There's definitely stuff going on in the background, all the time, definitely. I'm convinced
there's all kinds of trade wars going on, Duff. There's all sorts going on that I don't want to really divulge.
Oh, you got information on that as well?
I've let out too many secrets already.
Have you got somebody in the stock exchange?
No, but I just know. Well, we were talking about the what's it names, weren't we? Oh, what they're called. Semiconductors the other day in the van, weren't we?
Yeah.
So this is making great podcast listening because we're skirting around a lot of things. Can I just let everyone know I'm of sound mind and emotionally I feel good. No, let's say I feel okay. I haven't planned to do anything. No, I'm not. So if something happens, I want to throw that out there. Are you going to say the same thing?
Yes.
There we go. So, yeah.
But my Russian wife has been looking at me quite weird the last couple of weeks.
I tell you what, she's as angry as a Russian wife.
Anyways, should we crack on? We better talk some disc golf at least.
Yes. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We have been playing a lot. I've been playing a lot, but I don't really know. I've got plenty to talk about.
Oh. Okie doke. So let's get it on.
Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chain. And on the T-Box tonight with me, as always, well, can we say as always anymore? Because you missed that one show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When you was on holiday.
Did I miss a show?
Yeah. So but not as always.
Anyway, I won't care.
Here most of the time, Thomas Bowen.
Good evening. Was it a good show? I didn't listen.
Nah. It was missing something.
All I'm going to say is, fuck the listeners. Do you know why I'm saying that? Because I did listen to it.
Of course I did.
And you said something, that's what I'd say.
I can't remember. I remember now that you said something that we was taking the mic, but I can't remember what we was actually saying. And as you can probably guess, there's no Joshua Birmingham this week. The plan is we're going to do a show this week. We'll probably do a show next week. Not a show next week. And then the week after, which I think is something like the 2nd of October, we're going to record, which will be the one after the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships. And then...
Is it the one before? I thought Josh said in the chat earlier it's the one before.
No, I think it's the one after.
Okay. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's the one after. And then that'll basically round the season off, and then we'll knock it on the head for a bit until the season starts back up, and we might do a Christmas show. But so that's the plan anyway. So a show this week, probably not a show next week, and then a show a week after, which would be the last one of the season.
Can I just carry on with formalities?
Go on.
And on the other side of the tee box is the one and only Thomas Duffield.
Hello.
Can we edit that so that it's near the other bit?
No.
We screwed it.
We're on too late. There's going to be very little editing. I must put that out there now. the obvious question is, what have you been up to?
Quite a lot. So the last time I was on was before my holiday, which seems like ages away now. Me and Millie went away for a week to Devon/Dorset. We're stopping in Devon, but we went to Dorset most days. We went fossil hunting for the 7 days. Millie loved it. I've come back with quite the spoil, haven't I? I've got loads, and you've seen a lot of them, haven't you?
Yeah. Pretty good.
I'm giving up disc golf. I'm becoming a fossil hunter.
You're going to not get a podcast going?
I might do a YouTube channel, to be fair.
UK fossil hunting.
Tom's Fossils.
Tom's Fossils.
What a name for a YouTube channel. So I did that. I've played loads of disc golf, to be fair. Played some with you as well, haven't I?
Yeah, we had a game on the weekend.
I feel like, now some people snigger and laugh, I actually feel like I'm becoming a proper disc golfer now.
Yeah.
I
normally take the piss, but on this occasion I will agree.
Well, I shot a 2-under round at Arrow Valley, full 18. Now, the back nine is harder than the front nine, so I've shot under on the front nine loads of times. But the back nine actually has a bit of distance to it. Not loads, but enough. And I held it together and shot a 2-under round, which hasn't really happened to me on a proper disc golf course. So I was quite happy with that.
Yeah. And well, I thought you played well on the weekend as well. Up until the
couple
last
of bad
few holes. Yeah.
A couple of bad holes where I have the odd meltdown hole every now and then, but I was disappointed, and I was in the low teens over. It was on Blues, so it was a bit easier. But, like, there were plenty of pars in that round, weren't there? I think I had one birdie. But that's what I'm finding. I'm finding now that I can par pretty much every hole.
Yeah,
pretty much most holes you can. You are able to par, I would say. If you go into the hole with that in mind, I feel like that would be your next step in terms of just getting down to that. Well, I can par pretty much every hole. So if I play for par every, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be a million miles away, rather than trying to pick up birdies and stuff and not perhaps throwing more adventurous shots than what you actually need. But I thought you'd play well. I thought you'd play well. I think your forehand's coming on well. I think you still need to work on your backhand.
Backhand.
No, your forehand's becoming more controllable now, and like your putting most of the time is fairly decent.
I was a bit off on my putting at the weekend as well, which disappointed me. Like, I had some good long ones, but I wasn't hitting. Like, I don't know if I'm becoming too cocky. I've started to think that anything inside 7 meters I can get, like, 90% of the time. And then moving out, like, I feel like I want to hit, like, 10-meter putts 3 or 4 times out of 10. But, like, it was a little bit off Saturday, but it's definitely probably the biggest improvement on my game. Like, and I've sort of developed a new technique. So,
I'm new to you or new to disc golf?
I could be new to both. I do 3 pumps and then I throw. Now,
this is when you put in.
Yes. And I also put a lot more spin on it now. It's not fully a spin putt, but it's definitely got a lot more spin on it. So I find it a lot more controllable. And I know now, because I'm not a mate, I'm not the world's best putter, but because I'm better, I'm not worried about if I go past the basket. So I'm a little bit more committed now. And it makes a world of difference.
Have you got a disc there? Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah, I can reach one.
So
I have a putter as well.
Okay. How do you put? Show me your putting, how you grip the disc.
Like that.
Oh, okay. So you still put your finger on the rim. It's all right, because I was watching Foundation Disc Golf. It was one of Foundation. It was the blonde-haired one from Foundation Disc Golf. I don't know what his name
is. Actually, I might not. I might put like that.
See, this is what he's... Because I used to put my finger on the rim, and he was saying that one of the things he's learned since playing disc golf is he doesn't put his finger on the rim, and he tucks it under almost, so it's out the way, and he gets a cleaner release. And without seeing this, that's what I've kind of done about 3-4 months ago, and I feel much better I'm still not a brilliant putter, but I feel much better, like it does have a cleaner release. So I was just interested to see how you hold it.
I don't know. I don't want to stand up and be a Wally and make loads of noise and do my 3 pumps, but I don't actually know.
It later.
Yeah.
I kind of like softly tuck my finger underneath now, I think. And I don't know. I was just interested to see how you hold yours. Go on.
You've actually stuck with a putter, haven't you? Or are you going to tell me you haven't now?
No, I'm all right with it. I quite like it. The iron. I went through a phase of throwing it ages ago, and then went off it and went to something else. And like, I've stuck with this now for 4 or 5 months, and then I still feel real good with it. So I'm definitely just going to stick with that now. I'm sorted. And I don't want to keep changing the putter. It can't be healthy. I'm pretty happy with it. So that's sound. what I was going to say was, I was quite pleased on the weekend, though, Bo, and that I managed to keep up with the fourth best amateur disc golfer in the country.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Carl Heaton, who fresh off his fourth place finish at British Champs. I felt like I could have shot a bit better. I shot 3 over on blues, but
yeah,
I had I double bogeyed one of the holes on hole 5. I went OB, I pick up a birdie on that hole. I feel like that's like my most birdieable hole, the one that goes across the stream at Quarry before you have to walk back up the bank. I feel like that's my most birdieable hole, like the one I've definitely birdied at the most. But I took a 4 or 5 on
it. You went OB, didn't you? Yeah, you went OB.
So I could easily have shaved shots off there, because very rarely do I go OB there. So in reality, I could have got down to maybe like 1 or 2 over. And I felt like I played all right, but not fantastic. So, I mean, I felt pretty good, to be honest about it. I haven't played for a while. I felt like I was, sometimes you play quite a bit and you feel like you almost take it for granted, but then like I couldn't play for a while. I felt like I was like itching to get back out and play around and stuff. And like normally when that happens, I normally play shite and then I get frustrated and I think, oh, fuck's sake, I was really looking forward to that as well. And it just ruined my day. But I actually felt
Tried getting together 2 or 3 times so I could tell you were desperate to.
Yeah. And then we played Arrow Valley maybe a week before. I think it was a week before, wasn't it? And we played with a new
lad. Was that when I went under par?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't. No.
No. We played with that new lad, if you remember. But I can't remember what his name was. I can't remember.
I feel really bad now.
But it was... because I'd play there fairly regularly of an evening.
I can remember his name, Derek Robbins. Boy to disc golf.
I'd play there fairly often of a night. But the problem is, I just got bit to shit. I've got like 20 bites on me just from that night. And if I stood still that night, I looked down, I had like 4 mosquitoes on me all trying to bite me.
I've never been bitten so bad as this year, I don't think.
They seem to be pretty out in force this year. That's brought it a little bit. But, like, it's nice. And obviously...
You're one of them. You're rating Arrow Valley Park for everything. You'd put 1 star out of 5, too many mosquitoes. Something that can't be controlled.
Have you ever read you probably have, I reckon, because we are in the same circles and online mostly. Have you seen the bloke, one of the reviews about climbing Ben Nevis?
No, go on.
One of the reviews on there is saying like, there's nowhere to get a drink en route. You're walking for miles or for hours. And there's literally nowhere to get a drink. Like, they could at least have like a vending machine if they didn't have a shop. it feels like it's a genuine complaint. Like,
there is someone stupid enough to do that, though, isn't there?
Yeah. There is a carpet museum in Kidder, because Kidderminster's famous for its carpets. And there's a carpet museum in Kidder, and somebody put a review on a few years ago, and it was like, now I've spent New Year's Eve in Times Square, I swam with dolphins in Mauritius, listed a few other things. He goes, but I can honestly say, the carpet museum in Kidderminster is up there with any of the experience I've ever had, and like the enthusiasm the staff shown for carpet, and it's like. really over the top sort of thing, and it was quite amusing.
You've met my mate Browning multiple times. Yeah. Well, he played American football with us, but like, I went to school with him, and he takes the piss out of me because I told him once, much to probably my own downfall, I never used to holiday abroad as a kid. Like, we used to go on loads of holidays, but they were always in the UK. They were always walking holidays because my dad was mad into walking. We went up the Lake District and it was raining the once, and that normally didn't stop us. But my mum turned around to my dad, they're split up now, but it was, we're not going walking today. So my dad was like, fine, suit yourself. You know where we're going to go. He did this just to spite us. The Cumberland Pencil Museum. Could you think of anything fucking worse?
What's a Cumberland pencil?
I don't know. Apparently, it was in Keswick. It's well known. They're well known for making pencils up there. So we went through the history of the pencil. We saw an animated, we saw like how the, you know, that animated Christmas thing, the snowman.
Yeah.
Well, I fucking hated it as a kid. So I didn't really want to see how it was made. And I still hate it now. And if I could get hold of every single copy of it, I would burn it. I would burn every single soundtrack. I hate that film. I had to watch how it was made and how they used the Cumberland pencils for it. I literally cannot stand that film or whatever it is. I don't think I've ever seen it the whole way through. I'm glad.
I'm going to have a look what a Cumberland pencil is. I've never heard of it.
Let's have a look if it's still open. This is the magic of Google. Cumberland Pencil Museum.
This is what people.
It's still going.
Is it still going?
It's closed currently, but it opens at 9:30 tomorrow. It's got 2,200 reviews. What's its average rating? Have a guess.
Oh, are you asking me to guess? I thought you was looking.
No.
2,200 reviews.
Yeah.
I would say the average rating is out of 5.
Yeah.
4.1.
4.3. It's a hit.
Oh.
Located in Keswick, the home of the first pencil.
But do you not feel that? It's home of the first pencil.
Apparently.
2 seconds.
I feel like we're giving it free advertising here.
Here you go then. The Museum of Carpet in Kidderminster. It's had 39 reviews. What's the rating?
4.7.
4.8.
No.
Yeah. Mate, I bet you it's class. I bet if you went now, I bet you'd be like, oh, this is a good day out.
I'm a bum. I'd enjoy nowadays. I would enjoy watching the process of how carpets are made.
Yeah. I'd probably watch it. If it come up on YouTube, I'd probably watch it.
We're sad, aren't we? We are sad.
Pretty much. I was watching Tabasco sauce being made earlier.
Oh, I'd enjoy that. Lots of vinegar, I bet, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like Tabasco or is it too spicy for you?
I prefer Frank's hot sauce.
Oh, I'm not a fan of Frank.
Oh, I quite like Frank, so I could probably drink that out of the bottle.
That's too much vinegar, that is.
Oh, I like it. I like that. I like that taste.
I've got an Encona. Well, yeah, I used to have one called Encona years ago.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I thought I'd reminisce about it, and I bought the extra, extra hot one. Now, I can handle spicy food. It blew my fucking head off, Duff.
Yeah. I've had Encona before. It's like West Indian, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's got like Scotch bonnets in.
Yeah.
Which are nice, but it nearly floored me, mate.
Remember when we had that in Beyond Insanity, the bomb? Beyond Insanity hot sauce.
I don't know what you're talking about because never released for multiple reasons.
that was horrific. That was the hottest thing I've ever eaten. And that I looked earlier, that was 135,000 Scovilles.
And something's got to like 3 million, don't they?
Yeah, the Carolina Reaper's like 3 million.
Could you imagine that?
No, I can't.
It's got to get to a point though where it doesn't feel any different, Duff.
You reckon?
It's got. How can you get 30 times worse than that? Than your entire face melting off, literally flesh falling off the bones. You can't get any worse than that feeling. I can't. Yeah. So it might be hotter, but I don't understand how it would make you feel any different, because that was pretty. That's the worst like heat I've ever had, and it was horrific. You dragged it out because we'd all done ours, and you were like bottling it. So I had to sit around there for like, we all had to sit around there for like 3 minutes whilst you were trying to decide whether you were going to eat it or not.
Yeah. I didn't see it like that at the time. I see it as, I'll let you eat it first because I'm not sure whether this is going to kill me.
We were trying to sell it as if it wasn't that bad.
Would you have that again?
What do you mean, through choice or as a forfeit? Yeah. Or
if I give you six wings, if you had six wings at a pub and I said, go on, Bowen, have that, Beyond Insanity, would you have it?
Do I get anything for it?
No.
No. I can tell you now, no.
It was horrific.
I once did some Naga chili wings when I was like a good 6 pints down and they weren't too bad. But I think the alcohol was sort of
playing a part.
But I wouldn't choose that as enjoyment. I'd say that more, you'd do it to show off, or if you were going to give me a free meal or something. But then I don't tend to have much issue with, this is getting quite personal now, tend to have much issue with chili on the way in. It's on the way out that I struggle.
Well, I've got a theory, and I've shared it with another mate of mine, and he agrees with me, that I feel that some chilies affect you differently to others.
Oh, so some are burners on the way in, some are burners on the way out.
No, like I feel like I can eat one chili, and I'll be like, oh, it's hot, but it's all right. Whereas I feel like you could have it, and you'd be like, bloody hell, this is hot. Do you know what I mean? Whereas vice versa, you could have one and go, it's
not too bad.
A little bit of heat. Yeah. And for me, it's burning my mouth off. And I feel like that happens quite a lot, I feel. But I don't know.
Do you mean if we took it, if we had different, but if we had the same spoon of a sauce, one sauce, exactly the same batch, I'd be like, oh, this is all right. You'd be like, this is intensely hot. Then we have a different one and you're like, oh, this is all right. And I'm like, no, this is intensely hot.
Yeah, this is hotter than the other one. Yeah, I feel like that's the case.
I wonder if it's to do with our taste buds and our receptors in our mouths being different.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I've got nothing to back it up. It's all anecdotal. But like, I think
that's pretty much where all your facts come from.
I feel like they're the best type of facts.
Yeah, that's true. It's right 100. What is it? Oh, no, I'm not going to go in there. It's a quote from Anchorman. I'm not going to go there.
I heard a fact about a month ago and it stuck with me. I might have even said it on the show before. I can't remember. So if I have, I apologize. But it's fascinating for me. It was the T-Rex was alive closer to the first iPhone. Or the iPhone. Because it's not going to make a difference over 10 years.
10 years.
The T-Rex was alive closer to the iPhone than it was to a Stegosaurus.
It's nuts, isn't it?
I couldn't get my head around that.
It's nuts because this is a problem as humans, and we were having a slight discussion on this earlier. We can't comprehend you pretty much can't comprehend anything before your lifetime. We can't comprehend like World War II, can we?
No.
And that was only 80 years ago. Well, nearly 85 years ago, if you want to be correct, stuff.
Yeah.
We can't comprehend that. No. So how are we meant to comprehend even a million years?
Yeah. I feel like...
How do you comprehend 200 million
years? Once you get to a certain sort of level, you can't, or vastness, or like greater number, you can't... I feel like your brain just doesn't really allow you to comprehend it.
Apparently, I don't know how true this is, that in the universe somewhere, there's another me and you speaking word for word what we are now. The universe is that massive. Has done everything the same in our lives. Has met the same people.
Isn't that the multiverse?
Well, the universe is fucking massive, Duff. We can't comprehend the size of the universe.
No, we can't.
How can you comprehend that, like, you know, the speed of light is like something like 213,000 meters a second.
And then so you have that, like, you have galaxy or cloud formations in space that are like 230 million light years.
How can, like, so 213, I think it's 213. I'm going to check that because I don't want to be wrong. Let's have a look. Speed of light.
You don't want to be wrong, or you want to prove that you're right?
Oh, I was completely wrong. It's 299 million meters per second.
Bloody hell.
So That is, let's take away then, 200, nearly 300,000 kilometers a second. So 300,000 kilometers a second times that by 60 gives you kilometers a minute, which is 18 million kilometers a minute, times it by the hour, let's just call it 100. These are numbers we can't even... That's 120 million kilometres an hour. And you think a light year is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. So that is... Let's have a think. Sorry to bore everyone. 24 times 35, let's call it 700. That's 700 times whatever number I've just given you that I can't remember. You can't comprehend, and that's one light year. You can't, and these are thousands of light years away. You can't comprehend it, can you?
No. That's what I mean. It's almost like impossible to. What is a question for you then? Before we go on to the news section, because we haven't quite talked about enough disc golf. I'm going to break the mold and not carry on not talking about disc golf. What's your most likely theory? If you had to guess as to like the universe, are you sort of a solo universe? Are you multiverse? What's your sort of?
We could be on a speck of dirt in a complete other. We could be a tiny speck of dirt in a completely other entity. I don't have a fucking clue, Duff. It's too big to comprehend. It could all be made up shit. For all I know,
I feel like it's some sort of simulation.
But who created the simulation?
I don't know, but you can just keep going backwards and backwards. If it was a simulation, you're saying who created the simulation? Who created
Do you believe in a higher being? Are you saying the atheist believes in a higher being?
I don't know. Do you think we'll have any idea by the time we die?
Never. We'll never know, Duff.
Do you think humans as a species will ever find out?
No. That's why I say never. It's too big to comprehend. We don't have... I know we could look back 100 years and look at the technology that we've got today, but I can't see how we can ever be technologically advanced enough to... You know about the different... Is it the Kharchev scale? Well, it's something like that, where you are like your level of civilization. You start off being able to colonize your own planet, then you colonize your star, then you colonize galaxies.
Yeah.
I can't, or you utilize the whole power of your star. I can't ever see it ever being able to utilize the entire power of the sun. Have you heard of a Dyson sphere?
Yeah, it wraps around the sun.
How the fuck could we create one of them? We haven't got enough raw materials to do something like that. How are we ever going to... The power sort of needs and the material needs get exponentially higher the further you go up. How the hell are we ever going to figure any of that out? Unless there's a breakthrough and we can teleport.
Yeah, but if you said in the last 100, if you said 100 years ago, in, say, 40 years or 40 to 50 years, we're going to be landing somebody on the moon, whether or not that happened. No, but or sending people to space in the International Space Station, you wouldn't necessarily have said, oh, yeah, that'll definitely happen. You know what I mean? Like, if you think from the Victorian era through to landing somebody on the moon or in the space station or something like that, you're talking like, 60 years? That's a massive jump.
Let's look at it from a different point of view. I believe we did go to the moon because I've watched videos, and apparently the technology required to fake it was harder than the technology to get there, the lighting and stuff. But even if we take that we have gone to the moon, or let's take our furthest travelled object, which is just leaving our solar system. That's hard, but it's a lot easier than trying to go further because it exponentially increases. We've literally, let's say now, this isn't even a good comparison. Right now, I've walked to the end of the road. I've got to walk to the Gambia. Right now in our journey, I've walked to the end of the road. I haven't walked to the 3,000 miles to Africa. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're only that far into the journey, and it exponentially gets harder. Like, you have to find different technologies to be able to make the next step. I don't think, although we seem like we've gone a long way, we haven't actually. How are we going to make the next step? We're getting fucking deep here. We need to start a different podcast.
Have you ever heard from the creation of the universe, if you put it into a calendar?
Yeah.
A year calendar. Like, us as a species has been around, like, as we know it, like, sort of Homo sapiens have been around for like the last sort of 10 seconds of the year.
You can't even comprehend. Our Earth isn't even that old, is it? What is it, like 4 billion years old, and nothing happened on it for like the first 3 billion? How can we comprehend that? A billion years, we might be lucky if we live to 100. And it is 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million, 10 million, 100 million, billion.
So you're not doing maths again, are you?
I'm trying to. So that's 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. That's a million times longer than we will live a bit. No, it's 1,000. I've lost 100 million.
Don't worry about it.
10 million times longer than we will live a billion years. And you can't comprehend them numbers.
Anyway.
It's not... We need to move on. We could get stuck.
Before we get stuck in this rabbit hole.
Can I just say, listeners, this is a standard Tom Duffield and Tom Bowen conversation. It just goes off on a massive tangent and we start thinking about things that are way above our station and that you can't comprehend. I'm not saying we're intelligent. We're fucking fools, really. But this is what we talk about. We don't talk about what's on TOWIE or whatever the latest thing is, Love Island. This is what we talk about.
I tell you the best time to think about all this sort of stuff, Bowen.
When you're lying in bed?
So I've heard, is on mushrooms.
I wouldn't have a clue, mate.
I wouldn't. It's only what I've been told. But they reckon that's the best.
It boggles me now, let alone with this psychoactive substance in me.
Anyways, let's move on to everybody's favourite section. But before we do that, we just have a quick word from our sponsor.
Buy your discs from In The Chain Shop. Buy your discs from In The Chain Shop.
Excellent. Over to...
Right, there's been lots going on since I've been away anyway. The first thing I want to talk about, we're not going to go over everything because it literally take us 4 hours, but we're going to talk about a tournament over here, the 2023 BDGA Amtour finale presented by MVP. Now, In The Chains didn't have loads of people there. But from the looks of it, it was a who's who of amateur disc golf in the UK. And with a smattering of pros that somehow managed to pay off whoever was organising it to get an invite. Now, don't want to throw shade because I really like the bloke. But the winner, it was at Cotswolds, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The winner... of MA1 was Mr. John Tweed. How does he end up in MA1? Who did he pay off?
I don't know. I mean, it makes no difference to me whatsoever. Just ask him. Ask him how he... I'm probably wrong because it's like I say, it's never concerned me, so I've never really looked into it. But I thought if you played MPO and took cash,
prize money,
I thought you were automatically forced to play in MPO onwards.
Forever.
I didn't think you could step back down to amateur.
I think we should cut this conversation short so we don't rat anyone out because Bowen's not a grass.
You've already ratted him out. You've already grassed him up.
I don't know what you're talking about. Zachy came second. Unfortunately, the cookies thing on my screenshot showing up. So someone Partridge, is it Neil Partridge? What's his name? Partridge.
Andy.
Andy came third. We're going to call him Andy.
Or is it Alan?
Alan. It's Alan Partridge. No, it's not.
Did you do that genuinely?
You fucking got me there. Mr. Partridge came third. And as we've already spoke about, Carl Heaton came fourth.
Yeah. I know we spoke about it earlier with Carl, but I can't believe how far he's come.
I don't want to sound like I'm throwing shade.
That's what I mean.
I can remember a time where we both beat him.
Yeah. I know. And then his game has grown exponentially and ours has stayed exactly the same.
Stagnated.
is very much so. But like, he's a lovely lad. So I was really pleased for him, because at one point I think he got up to third at one point and then dropped back down to fourth. But yeah, he's doing really well.
I have a lot of time for Carl. He's a real good lad. FA1 was won by Tiffany Strandbygaard with Elva in second. So well done to them. MA40 was won by Ian McNidder with Adam Keane in second and Mark Maloney in third. I'm dead happy for Nidders. He's a good lad. I think he's a good player and he deserves it. I like Nidders. He's a good lad, isn't he?
Yeah, I like him.
You can't just nod your head on a podcast stuff I'm whilst yawning. You're
yawning. I'm really tired.
You have to speak.
Oh, okay. Is that how it works?
Yeah. MA2 was one. Oh, I've missed one. I've missed the main one. I've missed a couple, actually. That's the wrong screenshot. Look, right, let's get on the right screenshot. So that's still the wrong one. This is a problem with live shows, lads.
Here we go. This is a problem.
MA40. Oh, we've done MA40. MA50, the main one. Who was the winner? The king of UK disc golf.
The grandfather of UK disc golf.
He's old enough to be a grandfather. So, yes.
Yeah, really, really pleased for Condor. Because I think, without looking, we only had one person competing at
the
Champs.
He was the only man there, yeah.
Yeah. From the Inner Chains team. We had 100% win rate. He had a really good season overall, Shane, and he had one result that I feel like he was really sort of annoyed himself about, which was a Melton Mowbray. He had quite a decent lead. And then
he was chasing Skirt, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and
allegedly.
And I think he was disappointed with himself with that. But then since then, he's come back and he's won like two or three events and finished the season. Being the British champion for over 50s, so I think you can safely say it's a good season.
And we picked him because we liked him. He wasn't very good when we picked him. I think we cultivated him.
You reckon, yeah, are you taking some of the credit, are you?
I've sat on him like I was the mother condor. Sat on his head, fed him nuggets of information, and he's flourished and fledged himself.
Just is one for you then. Why don't you use those nuggets of information yourself?
Because I like to see the success of others.
Got you.
It'd be unfair on everyone if I did it myself. I'd be dominant.
Just do it for a round then, just to prove that you do actually know it.
You actually shit yourself every now and then now, because I'm getting better. You have to play a bit better. You have to play better than mediocre so that you beat me, don't you?
Yeah, similar.
So, yeah. So, moving swiftly on, MA2 was won by Jack Smith, who, again, I don't know what's happened end of the season, but he battered everyone at Essex and he's battered everyone at MA2.
Yeah.
He hasn't
played loads of tournaments, but the ones he has, he's played. Like, he's had some real good performances, so he's like, I think he'd be pretty pleased with how it's gone.
Yeah, congratulations to him. FA2 was won by Terry Pospisilova with Ophelia Byrne and Rachel Island Jones in second and third. MA3 was won by Connor Harvey Ward with Matt Hodgson in second. He's called Matthew One T Hodgson on PDGA.
Yeah.
And this is because his mate signed him up for it for whatever reason. And because Matthew insists his name is with one T and not two T's. Someone decided to call him Matthew 1T Hodgson. So I thought I'd let you know that because it gave me a little chuckle. With Jake Clark in third. And then we have a slight interlude as I go to MA4, which I still can't find. MA4 was won by Michael Varro with Andy Slater in second and Tom Hayek in third. And then we had FA4, which was Vanessa Lancaster. Now, there was a random one, RPA Gold. Did you see this, did you?
Yeah, the one that Noah played him.
Yeah, I don't know what RPA Gold means. Maybe I should know because I am a...
Nobody does.
I am like a legitimate tournament director, but I don't know what it was. So there we go. The next tournament I'm going to talk about was the Triple R, the Rochelle Rumble 2023. I was sent this by Sammy just so I couldn't miss the Scottish tournament because he's been having a go at me. He's buggered off up north and he's saying I'm not giving him enough attention. So this was won by Rick with Sammy in second in MPO. So he took him quite tight, like quite close to the end as well. So it was, it looked like a good tournament. MA1 was won by Jack Edgar with Fergus McLean in second. And then, let's have a look. Let's just confirm. I've got that in the right order. MA40 was won by Lloyd Wells. With Graham McGill in second. MA50 was won by Seamus Scanlon. So well done. We all know Seamus, don't we? The man who runs Reboot. So MA2 was won by Richie Gardner with Thomas Wells in second. FA2. Now, I think I know how to say it. We may have stumbled across this before. I'm going to say Roisin Kelly. Do you know how Roisin is spelt?
No. Let's say you're right.
Roisin.
Oh, Roisin, yeah.
So I'm guessing that's Roisin, isn't it?
Yeah.
With Flora Rougeby in second. MA3 was won by Richard Backhouse with always a bridesmaid, John Hood, in second. So, well done to them. I think that's all the... Let's have a look. I think that is all the divisions. If it isn't, I apologise. So, yeah. Sammy's been doing really well, hasn't he, up north? So
yeah, he's had a good season. I think he's coming back down
to MPO.
I think he's coming down for the British champs at Croydon as well.
And we're seeing him in 2 weeks' time, aren't we? Seeing him and John in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, with Bluebells. I was going to say to you about that actually, before, without going off on a tangent again. To get ready for that trip. I started watching last night the film on Amazon Prime, Robert the Bruce.
Okay.
Just to sort of get into the accent and the dialect sort of nailed
the freedom,
down.
So
I fit
the
in.
The freedom sort. You're wearing a kilt for your first round.
Yeah.
That's cultural appropriation, that is, mate. You're not allowed to do it because you're not Scottish.
I am. I've got a bit of ginger beard.
I don't think that qualifies you. What's your colour tartan?
Green and black.
Mine's yellow and brown.
I don't know really. Is Bowen a Is Bowen like a Celtic name?
It's a Celtic name, but it's definitely got to have Welsh in it, hasn't it?
I thought mine had Welsh in it.
Yours is Scottish, surely.
No, it's Anglo-Saxon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You're going to start shouting Britain First in a bit, aren't you?
Yeah. So, but I always thought mine had a bit of Welsh. Like, my name like had a Welsh descent. Duffield. It sounds a bit Welsh, but apparently not.
Anyway,
what we got?
What do you mean, what we got?
We got the Maple... I'm losing track. I'm so tired. MVP, Maple Hills.
Didn't watch it.
You got the results or not? Or we're not
doing that? I wasn't going to bother.
Everybody knows anyway, don't they? Fuck it.
Did Matteo win?
Yeah, Matteo won.
Won FPO?
It was a pretty raucous reception. After he won, it was like everybody was like dead happy. Like after, he hadn't even put it out, and people like a couple of his mates had like basically ran on to celebrate with him on the fairway.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was. It looked. There was a few times where I thought, I think he's gonna cry. He looked dead emotional.
I thought something. That's the first time. Is it something like 700 tournaments that he's won a Elite Series tournament?
Yeah, he's been playing. He's been playing years.
He's a decent player.
Yeah, I was pleased for him. He's been up there a few times, and then never quite managed to get over the line. So I was pretty pleased for him. It's always who nice to see some of that win.
Hayley King.
Who won FPO? Hayley King.
Yeah.
Beat Kristen for a change. It feels like no. Kristen's entered. She's won. So it was quite nice to see that she is actually beatable. Okie doke. So we've done that. In the shop, we have got some exciting stuff. That's all your news, isn't it? I'll assume.
That's all my news. I was actually thinking about talking about some of this in the news. There's been a Castorplak new disc released, hasn't there?
Yeah.
It's coming out on October the 5th. But I'm actually looking forward to it, yeah. Are you looking? We're both looking forward to it, aren't we?
I think so. I don't know whether I need a more overstable Berg. I feel like it's kind of stable enough, I always feel like. I always feel like I end up putting on a bit of hyzer anyway. And it tends to stay on it. But I don't know. I'd be interested. Like a minty green Berg, that has some sort of appeal to me, I must admit. So we've got that coming.
We're hoping to. Do you think the K3 one will be like a jawbreaker zone?
No. Because you won't have any glide, will it? The zone's got some glide.
Yeah, but not bags and bags of it, has it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. The other order we've got coming is the Simon Lazat time lapse, the prototype. Now, I'm quite looking forward to getting my hands on this as well, to be fair. It's meant to, the proto versions are meant to be pretty stable. It's in a few videos and they're pretty stable. It's quite surprising, really. I mean, I don't like going into numbers too much, but they're easily the most expensive disc we've ever brought at wholesale prices. Yes. And there's quite a steep minimum suggested retail price, which is in layman's terms the price that we have to sell it at. So all the shops have to sell it at a certain price stipulated by the manufacturer, and it's quite a high price for that as well. I feel like I kind of feel like they're trying to manufacture a collector's market almost artificially by putting the price high so that they hold their value and and then hopefully other discs will follow at a certain level, if that makes sense. But I fancy throwing the disc. I feel like it'd be a nice disc, especially on forehands. It'll be a nice disc to throw. It's got a bit of dome to it, which is what Simon's wanted from MVP. Well, this is an Axiom disc, but Simon's wanted from MVP and Axiom is like a bit more of a domey type disc. So we've got a few of those coming. Each shop was only allowed 10. So they're not going to be, there's not going to be tons of them on the market. Again, helping to add to that collector's sort of status. So we've got that. We've got a few more of MVP stuff coming. So just keep your eye out. We've got the WAP coming, yeah. There's quite a few discs we've got coming that I fancy having a go with myself, and I haven't felt like that for quite a while. We'll see how it goes. Keep your eye out for that. Best place to find out when we've got stuff dropping is the In The Chains Shop group on Facebook, or just by visiting the website, inthechainsshop.com. And as always, we aim to get the prices the cheapest in the UK.
If our hands aren't tied by manufacturers.
I'm pretty certain we've got the cheapest shipping in the UK. There's nothing stopping people getting their hands on discs at a cheaper rate, basically, which has always been our aim. And that's it. So if you haven't got anything else to say, Byron. I haven't got anything else to say.
I'm glad you asked me what I thought about the time lapse.
Oh, what did you think? What do you think about it? You don't watch any videos, though. You literally know nothing about it.
I know it's an overstable driver. I'm waiting for MVP to get a class action lawsuit. It won't be a class action lawsuit because that's everyone. Getting a lawsuit from Adidas.
Yeah.
Are you waiting for that? It doesn't really interest me.
I looked at that because I said that in the chat when it first came out, didn't I, to Sammy? I said about the three stripes. I'm sure I see that Adidas had it trademarked, the three stripes, but apparently they've already tried to take other people to court and lost, basically. So basically they haven't got sole rights to it. I'm not really sure where they stand on that, but have you got anything else to say at all on anything? No.
Fire no. Excellent. That's from Jump 22 Jump Street. That is, he says name a word, say any word, and a bloke says fire toe. I don't know why, so I just felt like saying it.
Excellent. Right. So if we don't see you, if you're not at Blue Bells and we don't see you, then we'll see you. I know we've got the season finale before then, haven't we? Yeah.
Before the doubles tournament?
No, before we go to Blue Bells, and then before the doubles tournament. So we'll just see you in a couple of weeks for the season finale, and hopefully Josh will be back for that. Until then, remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Excellent.
Do you remember we said it'd be a short one and it turned out it was a short one.
Thanks for listening to In The Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.